Restaurant Unstoppable, episode 24.
Welcome to RestaurantUnstoppable.com. Listen to successful restaurant professionals as they discuss the tools, tactics, and services they use to better lead, manage, and market their restaurants. Join our community and make your restaurant dreams unstoppable. Here's your host, Eric Cacciatore.
Yo, what's going on, all you unstoppable restaurant professionals? It's your host, Eric Cacciatore. This is the podcast for personal growth for restaurant professionals. If this is the first time you're tuning in, just so what you can expect, we capture the stories of some of the industry's most successful restaurant professionals and find out what it is that's making them successful. If this isn't your first time tuning in, I hope you've been enjoying all the episodes so far. I'm having a blast putting this content out for you guys. I'm learning so much. I hope you're learning too. I kind of wanted to take the beginning of this episode to kind of let you know where we're headed with Restaurant Unstoppable. So I hope you noticed the new website. If you're not checking out www.restaurantunstoppable.com, you need to, because that's where you can find all the show notes. Everything we talk about in each episode kind of gets summarized, and I provide the links to products and services we mention on the show, links to books or other podcasts or other sources that can help you guys with the personal growth in your restaurants. Also, you can now find links on my website that will bring you directly to iTunes and Stitcher Radio, where you can subscribe and not miss a single episode. The plan for the future is to continue doing the 3 episodes a week. You may sometimes see 4 episodes or maybe even 5. Who knows? I might get crazy. I want to start capturing some of the knowledge I'm getting outside of the podcast and in the books that I'm reading and the classes that I'm taking and sharing that knowledge with you. Also, I really want to start getting into all the crazy stuff that's going on out there in the digital world with digital marketing and really start sharing some of those tools for you too. So I might not be in the position to own my own restaurant because I'm still in school and I still have some pretty outrageous school loan debt, but that doesn't mean that I can't do everything in my power to learn what it takes to be successful and to share these lessons with you guys. And I hope you're appreciating what I'm sharing. Also, I plan on putting out a video on Kickstarter. I need some help. It's all the things I want to do. Some of the things cost money, and I'm not making any money from this podcast. So I need a little support. So I will let you know when that video launches on Kickstarter. What are some of the things I need, some of the tools I need are just, you know, the software to have an email list, screen capturing software. I also want some hardware and some software to give you guys some better audio quality, because I will admit that this isn't the best audio. It's what I can afford, but I want to give you guys a better experience, and I figured why not? I'll try to raise a couple $1,000s on Kickstarter to throw into this project so I can start using these tools to help you guys in your businesses. So I'll stop talking. Don't forget, please, please, please connect with me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Google+. It's really easy to connect with me. And I need more GMs. So if you guys can think of any outstanding GMs that can bring something special to the table, let me know. I'll try to connect with them and get them on the show so we can all learn from what they have to share. All right, I've talked too much. I'll stop. And here's the show. I hope you guys enjoy it. All right, with excitement, allow me to introduce to you today's guest, Chef Scott Sorrell. How are you doing today, Chef?
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for coming on the show. So are you ready to help make some of our listeners' dreams, or their restaurant dreams, unstoppable?
I will do my best, absolutely.
I'm sure you're going to kill it. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. So just a quick background of our spotlight guest today. Chef Sorrell is a graduate from the New England Culinary Institute. And as a culinary intern, he eventually found himself in Hawaii. After arriving in Hawaii, he found it difficult to leave and spent 10 years working in numerous 5-star resorts. His hard work landed him a job as chef at the, and I'm going to say this wrong, feel free to correct me, Huma Huma Nuka Nuka Apua. AKA Huma Huma.
And yeah, there you go. Close enough. Yeah, you tell me if you want me to repeat it.
You go for it. Let's give it.
Well, we used to abbreviate it and call it Humu Humu, but it's the real version is Humu Humu Nuku Nuku Apu Aa. That's the name of the restaurant I worked at.
Well, you said it much nicer than I did. Sorry for that. Okay. This is the restaurant located at the Grand. I'll probably mess this up too. Grand Wali Resort in Maui.
Wailea, Grand Wailea. Yep.
See, I'm just totally destroyed.
No problem. That's Hawaii. It's hard words.
Yeah, right. Okay. Today he is a chef proprietor of the Chef's Corner, which consists of two locations, one in Williston and one in Burlington, Vermont. All right. So I've given a brief introduction. Do you care to elaborate and go a little bit deeper on your history?
Well, I mean, you know, you said the bulk of it, you know, being in Hawaii for 10 years, But, you know, before that, I grew up in Vermont, and I worked at various cooking jobs as I was growing up. I think I had my first cooking job when I was 15 years old. I worked at a pizza place, and I was a barbecue grill cook for a local minor league baseball team here in Vermont. So that's kind of how I got my cooking start. And,
cool.
You know, my grandmother was a great cook, and I was really always interested in being in the kitchen while she was cooking. And, you know, I think that's also where it spun off from. I really had no intentions of being a professional cook by any means. I actually went to college for business management and accounting. Business management side kind of makes sense. Accounting kind of makes sense, but, you know, I couldn't sit behind a desk all day long. I had to be active and be in the kitchen. So, you know, after my Champlain College stint is what landed me at culinary school, and I did my first internship down in Key West, Florida. I was there for over a year. I ended up staying longer than I probably should have. but it was a blast. I mean, I worked at another Five Diamond Resort down in Key West and learned a lot of Caribbean cuisine down there, and then went back to Vermont to the culinary school for my second year. And then, as you mentioned, I did my final internship in Hawaii. I was supposed to go to Australia, but I was supposed to go to the Regent in Sydney, Australia, but I couldn't get my visa in time. So that's how I ended up as the unfortunate backup plan to go to Hawaii.
It sounds pretty rough.
So I've known Joseph, my business partner, for many years. He and I are both from the culinary school days.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept in touch while I was in Hawaii, and I actually offered him a job as the executive pastry chef at the Grand Wailea, the resort in Maui that you mentioned, and he was right in the middle of starting Chef's Corner at the time, and obviously it didn't work out, but, you know, we kept in touch. We were colleagues, and, you know, I actually asked him for business advice on several occasions because I was going to open up my own business in Hawaii, but it was too darn expensive.
Oh, man.
So,
the rent out there is outrageous.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy, you know, and financially I couldn't do it on my own. Plus, you know, I'd been in Hawaii for 10 years. I'm from Vermont originally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was time for me to come back, period. So, you know, when I came back to Vermont, I worked in southern Vermont at the Equinox Resort in Manchester, Vermont, and it was strictly a seasonal thing, but that's what brought me back to Vermont. It helped pay for my moving expenses to get here, and I worked down there and really had no desire to stay down in Manchester. I didn't really care for that area that much, but you know, again, growing up here, up in the mountain area, I moved up here, and that's when, coincidentally, Joseph had left a message on my mother's voicemail saying that, hey, I got an idea if Scott's interested. And that's kind of how it all started again with Joseph, you know?
Yeah.
So, and cool story.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, and at any point in your career when you were getting started, do you, like, remember, like, one point where you're just like, you know what, this is more than just, you know, a summer job, or, you know, this is going to go further than flipping burgers for a local professional, you know, baseball team. When was your moment of, like, okay, this is for me?
Culinary school.
Yeah.
I think my – when I did my first internship in Key West was kind of when I realized that, you know, my first year – you know, I was a little arrogant my first year. I had, you know, had a lot more experience probably than the average person coming into culinary school. You know, a lot of people come in with zero experience whatsoever.
Yeah.
I was fortunate to have cooking jobs prior to that, so that really helped me out. And, you know, I was a little, you know, goofy about things my first year at school. I mean, I did very well, but I didn't quite know my direction until I ended up in Key West. And I said, man, I really just like this, and this is what I want to do. And I had realized I was actually getting pretty good at it, you know, and I think that's where I really realized that this is probably you know, what I need to be doing with my life. And here I am.
Yeah. And I just want to point out the benefit that you had. And I didn't know this about you, but you had that business degree beforehand, and not many restaurant professionals get that benefit of getting both sides before they get into the career.
It definitely helps. You know, I always had intentions of doing my own business one day, and it was just a simple matter of time. And, you know, Chef's Corner had already been established for 10 years.
Yeah.
It was a good, solid business. You know, Joseph's previous business partner was simply ready to retire. You know, he paid his dues and is a fantastic man.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to retire, and it just worked out perfectly where I, you know, was able to join Joseph and continue another 10 years with him.
Yeah.
So of those 10 years, I think we're on 8 right now, and you know, we're not stopping. We're going to go strong. You know, since I've been here, we've been able to do quite a bit with this business as far as caterings go. We've expanded into a new location, mm-hmm. have talks about moving it to possible other locations. You know, so we're definitely growing now.
Great. And I don't want to get too much deeper into your background, but I just want to point out, too, how important it is and how lucky you were to have a mentor like Joseph. And that's one thing, if we take away from this, being able to, if you have the opportunity to work for somebody or to go into business with somebody who isn't just a business partner, but a mentor, you have to capitalize on those opportunities because you can just learn so much as you go.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. So. Definitely.
Yeah. So the next thing we do on the show is I give you a chance before we really dive into the content to start it off with on a positive note with a success or a leadership quote. If you don't have a quote on hand, a mantra will work fine.
A leadership quote. I think for me, my biggest leadership quote or mantra is to lead by example in this industry.
That's right.
Is my biggest pet peeve. And I would never tell somebody to do something that I would not do myself.
And that's so important. And that's a reoccurring theme to the show is when you lead by example and you show people that you're willing to work just as hard and get just as dirty as you expect them to, that they're just so much more willing to do the work.
Yep, and the respect is instantly there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yep. That's the best way to earn respect.
You got it. Thanks for sharing that. The next question we have is, what is your it factor? What personal characteristics, this is the beauty of editing. What's your it factor? What personal characteristics do you have that contribute to your success?
Being driven, I think, is my biggest thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to... I'm never happy with being complacent, if you will. I always need to be doing something, you know, something new, something exciting. So I think that my biggest trait for sure is definitely just being driven and wanting to continue to do more things, take on more things. You know, it's such a challenge, but it's a really fun thing. So I think being driven and motivated and wanting to be in business and wanting to make money for yourself, your employees, it's huge, you know. And I personally never really want to work for anybody else ever again except myself.
Absolutely. And you need that drive to get started, too. So many people, they have the ideas, but unless you have that, you know, drive to start.
You have to take the leap.
Exactly. And I'm sure that quality about you has shown through in your success and why you are who you are today.
Awesome.
No problem. All right, the next question we have, your favorite restaurant experience. So in this industry, we have so many incredible stories, you know, working with amazing people. And some of these stories act as lifelong lessons or maybe as reminders as to why we pull all these crazy hours and devote our lives to our trade. So share with us one story that kind of, you know, puts it all into perspective for you.
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. Oh, man. Well, okay. You know, something just, like, popped out of my head, so this is just what I'm going to go with. I didn't really plan for this, but I think, you know, I'm going to be honest. This is what popped into my head.
No,
you know, this is definitely the cool side of the industry. You know, I'm going to bounce back, you know, 10 years now to when I was in Hawaii and I was working at the Grand Wailea Resort and in charge of that signature Humu Humu restaurant, you know, for this entire resort. It was an 800-room resort. You know, you're talking a ton of money. This place is worth well over $1 billion for this resort.
All right.
And it was amazing. I mean, the most expensive room in the hotel was $12,000 a night.
Oh, man.
You kind of get the idea of the stature of this place. Yeah. It's been in movies. It's been all over the place. So anyway, you know, I was very fortunate to be part of that signature restaurant and to be like, wow, this is the place that everybody wants to eat when they come here, if they can even afford to eat there. So long story short, I was there one night doing my rounds through the restaurant. You know, I always had time a couple times during the night to go out and talk to customers, talk to guests, and, you know, and ask them about their experience. And lo and behold, one of the tables, I think this was on Christmas Eve, believe it or not, mm-hmm. I bumped into a table, I think it was about 15 to 20 people, and they were in their own private little area of the restaurant. And who do I end up talking to was Steven Spielberg, Francis Ford Coppola, Sophia Coppola, George Lucas, and a bunch of other huge names in the movie industry were all at this one table.
Just all at once, too. So
all at once. I mean, it was crazy. Like seriously, like the power table, you know. And I said, "Holy crap, this is really cool," you know, that I'm able to do this and to interact and talk with these people. You know, and it just made me reflect to the other times. This was kind of a big one because of the sheer power that was at that table that night. And they had such a great meal. They enjoyed the food. They were raving about it. And, you know, to have people like this that are that big in that industry, to hear some feedback like that's amazing, you know. And it kind of instantly, I went back to another experience I had on a previous island that I was working on, a big island in Hawaii, about a 20-minute flight. And I was working at a resort called the Orchid at Mauna Lani, and I was in charge of this restaurant called the Grill. It was kind of a fine dining restaurant there. Mm-hmm. And again, I was kind of doing my rounds at night, and who did I bump into that night was what's his name, the Big Lebowski there. Help me out.
John Goodman.
Not John Goodman.
That's he was in the show.
The other guy. What's
long hair? I know what you're talking about.
Crap, this is going to be annoying until I get this name.
It's okay, I'll look it up afterwards, and I'll just come, and I'll throw it into the audio. We'll just...
what's his name?
I'm awful with names, man. I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Can I look it up real quick? I'm on the internet right now.
Yeah, sure, that's fine. We'll just cut this a little bit. We'll come back to it.
Sorry about that.
Don't worry. Yeah, I got to get this name in there. All right. We're back.
Okay, so it was Jeff Bridges I stumbled upon, his wife, awesome. And his kids. And, you know, I said, "How was your meal?" You know, at first I kind of didn't register who it was. And I said, "How was your meal?" And he's like, "Everything was fantastic." And it was maybe about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and I hadn't eaten anything. You know, they didn't know this. But then his wife said, "You want to join us?" So I ended up sitting down, eating my dinner with Jeff Bridges, his wife, and his kids, mm-hmm. you know, and just experience like that with him being real with his family, you know, really made me like what I was doing.
That's really cool.
And the whole package of Hawaii, too, and how glamorous, you know, and all these celebrities that go to Hawaii as their vacation, you know, it's pretty cool to see that. And they're normal people, and you talk to them, and they're normal people. I've got literally 100 experiences somewhat similar to that, you know, from being in Hawaii.
And that kind of just makes me think about how lucky, and one of the benefits of working in this industry is the ability to network. I don't think all of us take advantage enough of that ability just to connect with people, where every day we have more new people coming into our lives that have different experiences, and it can just bring so much to the table, and I don't think we capitalize on that enough.
Yeah.
Maybe I can do a special episode where we kind of try to find ways to capitalize on those networking opportunities. But that's a different show for a different day.
Sure, yep.
So in land hospitality, there's no question that we need good food and good services to be successful in this industry. There's one other factor that I like to think is a huge part, and that's just hospitality. And when you say hospitality, I think of words like warmth, kindness, generousness, mm-hmm. and just basically being attentive to your guest needs.
The overall experience, yep.
You got it. So Danny Myers takes it a step further in his book, Setting the Table, and he calls it enlightened hospitality. And basically what that does is it prioritizes from your inner guests, your employees, then your guests, then your community, and then to your suppliers and your investors. So that's the segue into the question. Can you share with us a time either you or one of your team members displayed enlightened hospitality?
Specific instance, boy. Again, this is another tough question. You know,
I'm sure you see it all the time.
there's been so many times. I'm trying to bring reality back to Vermont now, and try not to make this all about, you know, my time in Hawaii. So I'm trying to think about some experiences here. I mean, you know, honestly, something that comes to mind right away is just the, you know, we have two fantastic general managers that work for us, in our Burlington location and our Williston location, and they are both the ideal person that you'd want to be your front of the house manager.
Mm-hmm.
They have that personality that you're talking about, that hospitality that I'm talking about. You know, it's the ideal service package right there. You know,
can
they
you
have
think of a
skills.
Time that they like actually displayed something or went out of their way just to, you know, to knock that hospitality and that service out of the park?
Oh, absolutely. You know, from the manager here at our Williston store hand delivering the food. You know, it was an older couple, I think, if I remember correctly, that, couldn't walk down our little path to get to the restaurant. And they drove around to the back of the restaurant, and our manager brought the food out to them, to their car. You know, just little things like that, you know, go a long way.
Exactly. It's little things that people notice. It's
yep.
certain industry standards that people expect, but it's
yep.
when you're willing to do the little things, that's when you start getting the good reviews. That's when people yep. start referring their friends and family to you. I don't want to cut you short. Was there more to the story?
No, that was definitely one of the stories, one of many stories, from our manager at our Burlington store being our delivery person on several occasions, you know, where we haven't had the ability to get a delivery service to drop off, you know, lunch caterings. He's done it himself, you know, and it makes such a huge impression on the clients, customers, when you have the manager of the restaurant hand delivering the food with possibly one of the owners, which I've done with him in the past.
Yeah.
Again, it's such a customer service
mm-hmm.
oriented thing, and it just goes such a long way.
And it goes back to that what we discussed earlier with lead by example. And when your employees see you doing things that you know aren't necessarily in your job title as owner, but everything really is in your job title. But it just goes to show what you're all about and what it
True.
Takes to be successful.
Absolutely.
And that's why I ask these questions, because you know we have to ask ourselves: are we doing enough? Are we going far enough? Or are we providing that outstanding hospitality? And
yep.
I think we could always. All of us at some point, you know, could probably take it a little bit further. So thanks for sharing these great examples.
Of course.
All right. The next question I have for you is, what is one of your biggest challenges? It doesn't have to be a challenge right now. Maybe it was a challenge when you were getting started. And how did you overcome that challenge?
No, this was a challenge. I'm sorry. You're kind of breaking up a little bit there.
Oh, it's all right. It doesn't have to be a challenge that you're currently struggling with. It could be a challenge that you struggled with when you were getting started, or maybe it is a challenge that you're currently struggling with. But just an example of some challenge and how you overcame it.
I think the biggest challenge probably that comes to mind was, you know, especially starting out in the business, probably just adapting to being a manager, and learning how to be a manager was definitely, I think, probably the biggest challenge I've ever had in my entire life. It's not easy to be a good manager, number one. I think it takes a lot to be a really good manager. I think your best attribute as a manager is to know that you're not always perfect,
mm-hmm.
that you you can make mistakes, and that you have to listen to your employees. I think that, you know, that was... and I'm not saying I had a rough time of it at all. I'm just saying I always wanted to strive to be the best manager, and I think that's the biggest thing that we all can still work on
mm-hmm.
and continue to evolve with is our management skills. And I think that back then when I was first starting out, you meet a lot of personalities, and now all of a sudden you go from culinary school to managing 20 people, 30 people, 40 people. Putting out banquets for, 500 mm-hmm. people, there's definitely a lot of management skills that need to be involved in there. So there's a lot of pressure and, a lot of stress, it's challenging to learn how to deal with all that.
Can you take us through the evolution of your managing abilities?
The evolution of my managing abilities. Well, I was fortunate, I guess, maybe a little too fortunate to jump right into it. I became a manager when I was in Hawaii. I mean, I was still, when I first moved over there, I was an intern, but they liked me so much that they hired me right on the spot as a sous chef after my internship. So all of a sudden, boom, I come from an intern
mm-hmm.
to a sous chef capacity. that was kind of where it all began, you know, and I worked my way from sous chef to restaurant chef, chef de cuisine, if you want to call it, to executive chef, to now chef owner, you know, where I have, you know, an executive chef that works under me, under my business partner, you know, and
that's a tough transition when you go from the point where you're all of a sudden being known for your technical skills, and now they're saying, hey, not only do you have the technical skills, but now you have to know how to lead these people. So was there a point in your career where you kind of had to adapt those skills?
Well, it went back to the driven thing that we talked about earlier. You know, at that point, I was, you know, I still am very driven. I think maybe I was even more driven back then to want to succeed and to want to climb the ladder as fast as I could. So to me, that really wasn't an issue. You know, it really wasn't an issue back then. I had no sense of stopping or slowing down. You know, now I only slow down because I'm tired, you know, and I'm working 18 hours a day, and I'm older now. You know, that's the only reason now. But otherwise, I mean, that drive is still there, you know, for sure. But, you know, I have kids now, too. I've got two young kids, so that keeps me driven at home now as well.
I bet. Yeah, well, like you said, you know, that drive, it will push you to do whatever it takes to be successful and to learn what you need to learn to lead well. And, yeah, you hit it on the nose with saying that it's not just you have to, like you said, lead by example, and listening is huge. You have to be able to listen to the people, and you're not always right, and, you know, owning up when you're not right and admitting, you know what, I wasn't right. Thank you for putting me in place. So all great advice, just to recap. Yep. Thank you. Now we're going to jump on to the part of the interview. This is going to go a little bit faster, and I'm calling it knowledge bombs, because you're just dropping bombs of knowledge on us. So are you ready to drop some bombs?
Let's see what I can do here.
All right. So arguably, you know, employee retention is the most difficult, and, you know, the biggest struggle for many restaurants in the industry, you know, just keeping those quality employees. So what advice do you have for, you know, first finding those employees and then keeping them as valuable, team members?
Well, you know, finding those employees doesn't mean a lot. I mean, I'm going to turn these bombs into long answers, unfortunately. But, you know, finding good employees is not that easy, as everybody knows. You know, but the thing is, you don't have to have somebody that has this amazing resume that's a good employee. You know, we have a great example. We have employees here that had come here with zero culinary experience whatsoever, but are probably one of our best employees that we've ever had.
So what's the trick to find those people?
You know, honestly, I don't know. I really don't know. What you know, what's sad and unfortunately sad to say sometimes is that the people that have no experience are better than the ones that have a ton of experience, because they're willing to learn, they're willing to listen.
They're trainable.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know, you get ones that come in that have flags on their jacket and, you know, this pristine coat and don't want to be told what to do, you know, and that doesn't work, you know, not as an owner, not as a businessman. That doesn't work. You know, this is, you're coming to my restaurant. This is how we're going to operate it. You know, so it's finding those, the perfect employees. It's tough, but they're out there, and they always don't have to have a ton of experience.
Absolutely. No, that's great advice. Is there anything else you want to elaborate on that, or?
I don't think so. I mean, that definitely was, I think, a key point for me on that one.
No, I think it was a very valid point that, and they touch on that a little bit in the book I just finished called The E-Myth. And he talks about it's easier to actually train people without experience, because they're a fresh piece of clay that you can mold. When people come into your industry with experience, they might have the knife skills, for example, but they're going to be set in their ways, and it's going to be hard for them to break them of those ways.
Well, exactly. You know, and you can train anybody your system as long as they're trainable.
Exactly.
You know, and as far as keeping, though, you know, mentioned also keeping those employees, those good ones around. I mean, that's tough. You know, this is a very competitive industry, you know, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of these people that come into the food industry are, you know, unfortunate college students that, you know, are waiting to find what they're doing their degree for, you know, and this is kind of a passerby career for them. Some end up staying in it, some don't. But it's a big challenge to try to keep the really good employees around, you know, and You know, honestly, I have no words on that. I wouldn't know the best answer to say how you keep your employees. Besides, you know, being respectful to them, appreciating what they do, you know, and I think it's as simple as that. You can't. It's hard to keep people. Period. You know what I mean? It all depends on their situation too. If they're young, if they're, you know, planning on moving and traveling, if they're settled down and have family and kids, they might stay a lot longer, you know. So it all depends on the situation. It all depends on the individual. Obviously, we hate turnover. We'd love to have people here for a long, long time. But that's the nature of this business.
And I'm going to read between the lines a little bit. I don't want to draw out this question much longer, but it kind of just makes me think about some of the advice. I believe it's a good friend of yours and Joseph's, Chef Robert Burrell.
Robert, yep.
I think I'm saying Robert. I always say
that's okay.
But he, on this topic, mentioned that, you know, exactly what you're saying right now in a roundabout way, I'm reading between the lines, that you have no control over it. It's part of it's the nature of the beast. And if, you know, instead of fighting the fact and just getting angry over it, just accept it for what it is and help these people. Like you said, they're going to be transitioning to their real careers, whatever they're going to school for. Not to say that this industry isn't a real career, because we all know that it is, but whatever they're studying, and you can help them in that process and help connect them with people. And if you're good to people and generous, or, you know, hospitable to them, your employees, and helping them and providing warmth and connecting them with other people that might be in their industry, it's going to come back to pay you in some way or form. Maybe they'll have a younger sister or brother that goes to that school that they just graduated from, and they'll say, go work here, because they'll take care of you, and you'll get another good person on your way.
Yeah, we always tell them, too, you know, you're getting paid, number one, but it's not always about the, you know, it's about the job. It's about the experience, you know.
Got
it's
it.
About the lessons learned. It's about, you know, this is a good stepping stone in your career.
Absolutely.
You know, that you came here, you experienced customer service, even if it's not going to be what you do for a living. You learn how to work at a job. You learn how to communicate with people. You know, there's so many benefits to a job in that sense, as long as you don't leave us in, you know, 2 or 3 months. You know, if you give it a fair amount of time, you know, you definitely can gain a lot from, you know, a job that you're not even going to go, you know, choose your profession someday.
So that knowledge bomb turned into a nuclear bomb, but it's all right. We'll carry on to the next one. So the next question that I have is the best restaurant resource. It's a book, maybe a website or a magazine, or it could even be a podcast that you use as a resource and that you'd like to share with our listeners.
Best restaurant resource. I would say my business partner.
Oh, yeah, your mentor, right?
Joseph, God. You know, I tell you, if it wasn't for him, you know, I probably would have never experienced half of the restaurants that I go to if it wasn't for him. You know, he gets me to go out more. I mean, the last thing, to be honest with you, that I think about at the end of a 12-hour day is going home and cooking dinner. So it's a great excuse for me to get out with him sometimes, get out with our wives, and go experience some nice local places. So I'm going to put him number one on my list.
Okay.
Because he loves to go out.
Yeah.
He loves to eat good food.
You have to have fun.
And I like to have somebody that takes me on these adventures with him and sometimes pays for me, you know, to do these things. So I think I'm going to give him number one. Number two would probably be our local newspaper here, 7 Days Newspaper. You know, it's a great publication. It's once a week. They do a fantastic job with restaurants and restaurant weeks and listing what restaurants are really good, you know, the up-and-coming restaurants, the restaurants that are in, et cetera, et cetera. That's a great source. You know, and I'm not a big cookbook reader. I'm not a big food magazine reader, but if I was to choose, it'd definitely be like Bon Appetit or something like that I also use for keeping on top of it. And of course, you can't knock the Food Network for kind of keeping you in the loop on who's who, you know, what places are what. You know, if I travel to New York City, I want to go see Daniel Below, or I want to go to Bobby Flay's place. So those are all relevant as well.
Exactly. And those, you know, sometimes it's nice not to have to read. You can just watch and kind of rest your brain a little bit. But
exactly.
I also, you know, one of the benefits, I want to point this out, of just staying in tune with your community with the newspaper, and I meant to point this out earlier, but I'll do it now. I did do some research, and when you're tied into your community, you're paying attention to what's going on, it gives you opportunities to get involved with your community and to interact with your community. I just want to give an example. I did some homework, and I found that you guys donated 100 pounds of house-made granola, and you sent it overseas to soldiers.
Yeah, that was in Afghanistan. Yep.
And I'm willing to bet that you found out that, you know, and this all happened through some maple farmer was donating maple syrup. And you probably discovered that in a newspaper, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So there you go. There's a connection. If you're paying attention, you're seeing what's going on. It just gives you ideas, and it's a chance for you to pay it back and to also like bring it back to that enlightened hospitality, to show hospitality to your community. And in this case, it was the soldiers.
So, and I'm going to elaborate real quick with you on this. I'd say 70% of our customers are return customers that come here, and we get to know these people. They're part of the community. Some are big in the community. I mean, we get the governor here, we get the senators here. Senator Patrick Leahy, who's like third in line for president, comes here quite a bit to eat. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a community oriented central place to come eat, and it's good food. We keep getting these regulars that come back, which is fantastic. We have regulars that come through the kitchen. They park out back and they come through the kitchen to go to the front.
That's awesome.
So it's definitely a very community oriented business that Chef's Corner has become. Plus, it's a landmark. I mean, we've been here for almost 18 years now.
Yeah.
And what business can say, especially a food business, can say that they've been around for 18 years?
That's crazy. And that's another factor of success. It's not the monetary things. It's, how long have you been in business? And
longevity.
How happy are you making people when they leave? And I could go on all day about community and the importance and all that stuff. But I respect your time, and I want to make sure I get these questions asked so you can get back to work. I'm sure you're busy. The next question I have to you for you is, what's one industry trend that you're capitalizing on?
Industry trend that we're capitalizing on. Oh boy. I like to consider myself pretty trendy.
Yeah.
I think that, we all, as a business here, we have a lot of creativity, at this place. And, we all have our own little outlets of how we get, up on trends and stuff. For me, I definitely take the experience that I had down in the Caribbean, down in Hawaii, mm-hmm. and bring that here to Vermont. I tried to bring stuff that you can't get in Vermont, from Hawaii. We've done luau's here at the restaurant in Williston, Vermont, and we've had things like that. I'll do really nice fish specials and things mm-hmm. like that, and again, it's stuff that's not so common around here, but people like it. We always get a great response on it. Joseph does a lot of stuff from his European South African background, so it's the whole package. So I think, again, back to the trend thing, we don't really follow trends. We kind of create our own trends.
Yeah, and that cultural thing right now is really actually really popular, bringing different cultures in, and that is it is actually pretty trendy. So you're being trendy and you don't even know it.
That's great.
it's popping right now. So is there anything else you wanted to add? Because I don't want to cut you off.
Nope, I think we're good on that one.
All right, cool. The next question I have for you is on the topic of product services and gadgets and appliances. Because, in this industry, we're being, everybody's throwing different products and services at us every day, and it's hard to kind of filter through which ones are worth our investment. So this is your opportunity to give a completely objective review on a service. It could be front of house, back of house, maybe it's software you use with your POS system, or maybe it's an appliance that saves on the electricity. So, it's a really broad question. So is there anything that you would maybe say you're a brand ambassador of that you would suggest to our listeners?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, for me is, when Chef's Corner first opened up, 17 years ago, it was a very simple starting operation, cafe bakery, mm-hmm. Registers, no computers. It was all the orders were done on clipboards, et cetera, et cetera. So now that I've been able to come on board with Joseph, we've definitely been able to modernize this place a little bit in the sense that, now we have a computer, now we have a website, now we have, other things, other more modern equipment here. So I think probably the most important thing that we are able, Joseph and I are able to use as owners is definitely having a computer, having our website. That's a huge thing for us. And one thing that we're slowly working on, which unfortunately costs a lot of money, but it's something that we have to do down the road, we want to do down the road, is getting a simple POS system mm-hmm. For the business. Right now we're running still those cash registers, but it eliminates mistakes. It's, helps better customer service, to have these systems in place. So, I think stuff like that are great things for businesses. A lot of businesses start out with that. They have the capital to go, bang, hey, I want to have everything brand new and everything completely modern in their place, that's great if they can afford it. But,
exactly.
You know, we want to be smart. We want to make some money, you know, so we're taking things very slow, and it's been working for us. You know, but I think, you know, the next big thing for us would be to evolve into a POS system for our service. I think that would be a huge benefit to the business. And, again, it's they're expensive systems. So I think something like that would be good for us here at Chef's Corner.
You know, if you have your systems down and you're doing good and you don't need to make that big investment that might put you in a jam, then don't make the investment. Like you said, baby steps, and that's kind of like that business savviness coming out of you right now. You can hear it, that there's no necessary need to change immediately if there's not a need for it, you know.
Yeah, we are definitely very savvy, a little too savvy sometimes, you know. But we understand the need for things sometimes, you know. Yeah. And I think that's the great thing about me and Joseph is that, you know, he's, you know, respectfully heading into 62.
Yeah.
I'm respectfully heading into 39. So there's a big age gap between us, and I think that it's a good pairing. You know, you have the old school, and then you have the new school that loves the old school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a really good pairing of things, you know, and I can help Joseph get a little more modern, and he can help me kind of keep my classics in line, you know, so it's a really good combination, and it's worked for us.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think of some other stuff, like gadget-wise goes, like you mean equipment and stuff like that?
I mean, yeah, I mean, you've offered some advice. You don't have to. I know we're over, you know, a half hour now, so I don't want to keep you going too long. I know you probably have work to do, but it's completely up to you if you have some other things you want to add.
I'm trying to think of other gadgets. I mean, relevant to our business.
While you're thinking, I just want to compliment you on your website, because there are a few things you do very well. The imagery is great, and a lot of people, they don't realize that in hospitality, if they're making their own website, we sell experiences, and you have to capture those experiences with imagery or video, but you do a great job. Those images, the slideshows, big, bold, close-up, and you're capturing the quality and the experience that one would expect when they come, so... just wanted to compliment you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, our website's a work in progress. Yeah. You know, we recently, a couple of years ago, redid our website. We started out with a good website. It was fantastic, but it was a little slow and hard moving. We wanted something that was a little more user friendly, so we evolved into this one. Again, websites are always something that's going to be works in progress.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I'm kind of the one that works with our tech guy to kind of make that stuff happen. And so, thank you very much.
No problem. And you also make it personal, too. And you list the names of everybody, because that's what it's about, the community, and it's a personal industry. So all good stuff on your website.
Awesome.
So if you're ready, we'll move on to the next question.
Sure. Yep.
Okay. So what's your best business advice? If you can just give any one piece of advice to somebody getting started, lay it on us right now. What is it?
The best business advice I could give to somebody. Well, I mean, again, I'm going to go back to the lead by example thing. But, you know, besides that, I think just to be, well, I'm going to go back to everything I told you about, actually. being driven, number one.
Yeah.
You know, number two, leading by example. And just being, trying to be the best you can possibly be at what you're doing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think is the best business advice that anybody can get is, you know, again, being really driven to want to succeed, to want to be the best you can possibly be, not just for yourself as a business as a whole, you know, wanting to be successful, you know, there's a lot of motivators there, you know, that can make that happen.
Yeah.
So,
and that kind of reminds me back to what a previous guest not too long ago said, Chester Kroger of Fuddpuckers down in Florida. He mentioned, you know, as soon as you start to slow down and you start to get lazy, that's when things start to fall apart. So you
absolutely
have to just be willing to adapt and push yourself to be better and to stay on top of the industry changes. So great advice. Thank you.
Yeah, complacency is a bad thing in this industry,
man,
for sure.
That. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, this is the last question before we wrap it up, and that is, are there any questions I could have asked you that you believe would have provided some value to our listeners? And what's the answer to that question?
Let's see here. Any question that you could have asked? I don't know. I mean, you know, it's all about, you know, being a successful business person. And, I mean, I think you did a really good job hitting some important questions.
Thank you.
you know, on this whole thing. So no, I don't really have any other other things that I think that you could add right off the top of my head. I think that you did a good job putting everything together, and no, I think this is great.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm happy you see the value in it, and I hope that people at home are, you know, getting value from your awesome advice. It was awesome, and we're going to wrap it up now, and I let everybody wrap it up by calling somebody out in the industry. Who's one person that you respect and admire in this industry and you'd love to hear from on the show?
Let's see. Call somebody out, huh? And this can be anywhere, huh?
That's the beauty of technology. I can reach out. I had an interview with somebody in Hawaii yesterday, so it's great.
You do. You had an interview with somebody in Hawaii. That's interesting.
Yeah, Ippy. Maybe you heard of him. Three Fat Pigs.
And are we talking about the restaurant industry or anything? Period.
Preferably restaurant, and it doesn't have to be a chef. Keep in mind, we interview general managers, restaurateurs, but anybody who you kind of you know have admired in the industry and think would be a, you know, a great contribution. Maybe somebody you know, so you can put me in direct connection with them.
I do, yeah. I'm going to say a friend of mine that I worked with in Hawaii. His name is Jovi, J-O-V-Y.
J-O-V-Y.
Yep, and his last name is Matt Wall. Don't ask me how to spell that. I'm going to try. I'll probably beat it to death.
It's all right. We don't have to – it's all right.
It's M-A-G.
Okay.
B-U-A-L, Magbual.
M-A-G?
M-A-G-B-U-A-L.
B-U-A-L. All right. I got it written down. And Jovi, did I say it right?
Yep, Jovi. He's one of the best people that I've ever worked with in my entire life.
Great. I hope I can connect with him, and we'll follow up after the show, and maybe you can give me some more information. And this is your chance to give yourself a plug. How can we connect with you, and maybe give yourself a plug to future employers, or employees rather, some people you know that might be interested in coming to work for you, who kind of like how you had the mentor in Joseph. Maybe this is your chance to be a mentor to somebody else. So give yourself a pitch, how we can connect, and all that good stuff.
Well, Chef's Corner Cafe and Bakery, Williston, Vermont, Burlington, Vermont. We got two locations. One main location has been there for 17 years, going strong. We have no signs of stopping. We are doing well every single year. We're growing business. I don't know who wouldn't want to be part of this business in this industry. it's a great breakfast lunch operation. We're not open for dinners. You know, we know when to hold it. You know, we know when to fold it. It's a great thing. You know, I've worked many nights night jobs before, and I absolutely love what I'm doing right now. It's breakfast lunch only. You know, we do, again, tons of caterings. We're taking on more and more caterings every year. It's a really local growing business. We use a lot of local products. We're a member of the Vermont Fresh Network.
Yeah. And that all ties back into the hospitality when you're sourcing from your community, showing them that generousness and that, that appreciation, and then it all comes back to serve you. So,
yep, absolutely.
You're not even interviewing anymore and you're still dropping bombs. So, awesome. Well, it was a true pleasure having you on the show. Chef Joseph was spot on when he said, I had to get in touch with you and get you on.
Cool.
Because you were very valuable in everything that you shared. So
I hope I helped.
I hope I can come out there sometime and give you guys a visit sometime soon.
That'd be awesome. Where are you located?
I'm in New Hampshire, so
okay.
I'm not too far away.
Yeah, it'd be awesome to meet you. If you're ever in the neighborhood, look us up.
Thank you very much, Chef.
All right, take care. Thanks, Eric.
All right, take care. I'll be sure to. Bye. Another doozy on the Restaurant Unstoppable podcast. Chef Sherrell was awesome. He has some great advice. Some of the advice that really stuck out to me today was his advice on capturing that valuable asset, which is a mentor. You really need to, if you have these opportunities to work under incredible people, use them for all they're worth and really just cherish and lean on those people for, you know, every last bit of knowledge you can get out of them. We're very lucky if we get these opportunities to work with these people, and we really just have to capitalize. And that's the first time any of my guests have mentioned a mentor as being their industry resource, and that's just really cool. And it kind of goes into the whole, when you get into business, you gotta pick good business partners. And I was really inspired and motivated by that, and it's something that I'll hold with me if I'm ever going into business, and I'll look for business partners. I'm going to make sure I can have that same asset in my career in my profession to have that mentor. It's really cool. Also, I really, really liked his stress on staying focused in the community. He was also the first person to mention the local newspaper as an industry resource. And that's so cool because we are all about our community. That's what we go to work for every day. Those are the people we're taking care of. Those are the people we are serving. And we need to know the ins and outs of what's happening in our community so we can stay connected. So great advice. Awesome, awesome show. Chef Sherelle, you rocked. And while I have your attention, before I let you go, I wanted to let you know that I will be at the National Restaurant Association convention this year in Chicago. So if you're going to be there, please connect with me. I'd love to meet some folks in the industry, maybe collaborate. And I'm just really interested to find out what's going on out there. So shoot me an email. It's Eric at Restaurant Unstoppable, or just connect with me on Facebook. LinkedIn, Twitter, I'm easy to connect with. And I hope you enjoyed today's show. Peace.